Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, the Midday 180 rolls on as we talk Titans with number 26, Logan Ryan. From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Logan Ryan Show, presented by Edley's Barbecue.
And it's every week right here on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Logan Ryan is in studio with us, presented by Edley's Barbecue. Let Edley's cater your holiday party this season. Right now, get the holiday catering package for 10% off when you order before December 1st. With both pickup and delivery options, you can be the hero your holiday gathering deserves. Check them out online, edleysbbq.com. Number 26 in studio with us. Logan, good to see you, man.
Good to see you guys. Let's get this over with before Paul comes back in.
Paul is on a call with Bill O'Brien, stirring the pot down in Houston, so we'll get his take on that coming up. Okay, let's just throw it out here like this. What happened in the first half defensively? Because I know you don't want to speak for the offense. Let's just talk defense.
All right.
I want to put what happened with Dean Pease to the side for a moment. I want to get perspective from the player on that. And we certainly wish him the best in whatever occurred. But facing Luck and the Colts offense, is there a point where you felt like everything was, you were climbing uphill instead of being on the even playing field? What I'm asking?
Yeah, I see what you're asking. I mean, you know, it's hard not to lead with the Dean Pease thing, obviously, because first of all, you just got to take that one on the chin, take the L. They came out. They had a great game. We didn't. We go out there and we force them to punt, and we're doing what we kind of do and doing how we wanted to come out defensively. And then, you know, you kind of hear sometime around there that, you know, Dean is going to the hospital. And
was that midway through the first quarter or
early in the first quarter? Or I think after
while you're on the field or while the offense was out there?
After we came off and they punted. Okay. And we're kind of going out back out there, and there's a turnover, and we go back out there on the short field or whatever, the punt return. And we go out there, and then we're kind of hearing, like, you know, just when we come off the field and they score, we're hearing from players and other things, like, I don't know who I heard from, like, hey, something's not right with Dean. And I didn't even have time to think about Dean's health in that moment. It was just like, who's calling the plays? And you know, Vrabel resumed play calling. And it's just all of it right there. It's just, we didn't do a good job of just adjusting as players to what just happened. I don't know how you could do a better job, but we just didn't really handle that well. And the head coach had to take over play calling duty at some point, and it just things got out of sync for us. And we didn't do a good job of refocusing. I think, like the Dallas game, our offense had some turnovers early, and we held them to 3 points and then an interception. This game, we held them to 7. Well, we didn't hold them. They got 7, and then we got them to 3. So that's 10 points there. We just didn't really rebound from everything that was going on. I think it was a little bit of chaos on our part. And you know, our coordinator went to the hospital, and we didn't do a good job rebuilding. Coming off of that, and I mean, that is what it is. Take our loss and keep it going.
How was it addressed with you guys? Was it Mike Vrabel that came to you and told you that Dean Pease wasn't there? Was it an assistant coach? I'm just curious about the communication when something like that happens.
It just was no time to be addressed, honestly. It almost like is like we were on the field when it happened, I believe, and plays had to be called in the middle of that happening. So we didn't have a team meeting on the sideline. At halftime, we were told, hey, some of you might have heard Dean's at the hospital. He's doing okay. Like, we'll let you know more after. He's staying in Indy tonight, but we need to win the second half. And, you know, okay, all right. But, like, during the first half, none of that was – there was no time for that to be told because the Colts are on the ball going tempo offense. You know, so I just feel like not to come up here and be an excuse maker or anything like that, because I told you I took this loss on the chin and we'll see him again on our field and that'll be it. And obviously the season's ahead of us and this game's very important. But – it just, a lot of things are out of sync, and we didn't do a good job adjusting to that. And I don't know how you could, but we didn't do a good job. It was my first time dealing with that, and it kind of affected on our play.
Have you guys reached out to him this week?
I saw him today. So he's back in the area, and he's back in the office. And I can't tell you anything more than what that may be for the future, but
I seen him and
wished him well, because I mean, after the game, I just kind of like, I obviously felt really bad about the loss, and I felt really bad for the fans, and I felt bad for myself. I just felt bad. And then I was like, well, you know, like, I feel bad for Dean and his wife, and to come out of retirement and coach and suffer some, like, whatever happened in the box, had to be rushed to the hospital. I mean, that's just a traumatic day for his family. And it was kind of selfish to feel bad for myself in that moment, because I lost a game, and not to think about the coach who we play so hard for and that we love, and that came out of retirement to coach this team and this defense. And we're excited that he's okay. We're excited that he's back with his family. And I'm excited to play for him. I'm excited to play really hard for him for these last, remainder of the season.
So you just get a chance to say, hey, and glad everything's okay. And
yeah, and you know what? And he told me, I'm sorry I let you down. And I said, no, I'm sorry we let you down, coach. Because, you know, he feels like he let the team down on that. And obviously that's ridiculous. And as players, you got to step up. You know, you see it all the time in movies, and you see it all the time. You got to step up, and we got to win it for this guy. Well, that game, you know, we didn't win it for them. We didn't win it for Dean. We so much was out of sync, and we haven't had a game like that defensively all year. Even the Baltimore game, when we played horrible, we let up 21 points. This game, we let up 38. That's not our standard. That's not us. That's not who we are, but that's what we put on tape, and we got to do a better job than that.
Paul laughed at me yesterday, but I still feel this way. It was 10-0. After the interception, and they went with some trick play where they tried to throw it to Luck. It was incomplete, and I don't know why they took it out of his hands. But that, I felt like that could be a mistake that would come back to bite them later, because it was only 10-0. And he said, really? You really felt like they were still in it? And I said, yes. But then they hit the deep shot for 68 yards and made it 17-0. And then I felt like the defense was really trying to scratch and claw to just hang on. Because like you said, you're normally really good either in the red zone or keeping teams within 21 points or so, and you could kind of feel it getting away from you.
Well, yeah, you know, as a player perspective and someone who's played some games in this league, you know, it's so easy after the game to say, oh, 10-0, I could tell is out of reach. Because the Dallas game, you could sit there and say, oh, man, two turnovers, they're out of it, they're not ready for Monday night, and you would come back and it's our best complete game effort. And in the Patriots game, I don't know what it was going into halftime, 17-3, something like that.
17-3, I think.
And Tom Brady and them are about to do what they do, about to score during a two-minute drive, and then they're going to get the ball back at halftime. You know, they're about to receive the kick in the third quarter, and we get the sack, and we sack them out of that, and they can't throw the Hail Mary up. And now what could have been a 14-point, 10-point swing right there doesn't happen. So football, there's so many plays where there's a swing of momentum or things that could happen. So like I said, we let up a punt return, and instead of holding them 3 points, they get 7. And then we have a turnover. It's like, here we go, and we hold them to 3. That's a win for the defense. We just traded punches. They won in the first red area. We won in the second one. And then, like you said, we let up the shot, and now it's 17. And then that's kind of takes some win out of ourselves. And then we go out, and, you know, it goes on from there. So, I mean, there's so many points when you look at a game and you watch the film where things could have, if you get this, you know, things could have swung different ways, and they just didn't in our favor.
We hear from fans after bad games all the time who question you guys' effort, and I say almost all the time, it's crazy for you to suggest that they're not making effort. I don't think they're crazy after this one. After that, you took their early blows, you touched the quarterback one time, touched him one time. I looked down there, and I saw guys who were done, and I was disgusted after the last two games with what you guys put forth. And I thought, this is a team whose leadership is not getting it done today, who is disinterested in being out there. Just disinterested. Tell me why I'm wrong in that. Tell me why what I was seeing was not accurate.
Well, you feel free to, I mean, obviously you can say, you're going to say whatever you want. And I mean, you being discussed, you're not out there putting out any effort anyway. So if anybody should be discussed.
Well, I was a lot like a lot of your guys.
Right. That's easy to say. It's your job's a lot easier to sit in this chair, and I can do this on Tuesdays, and it is what our job is. And you were an athlete at some point, so you understand. Like, question effort, I think that's low. But at the same time, I mean, that's what the Colts did the last 4 weeks. They did what they did to us, what they did to other teams. He hasn't been sacked in 4 weeks, and we didn't do anything better. We didn't play well. They executed better. I told you that when kind of Dean went down and threw us for a loop, and we really didn't respond well. And I think the leaders took ownership of that, and we lost the game. And, you know, we lost the game badly, but the Patriots lost the game badly too before. So, I mean, this is the season that we're in. This is the league that we have, and we're in the position that we're in the position. But, I mean, we've played well enough at times. We could beat anybody. We've played bad enough. We can lose anybody. So we got to go out here and find a way to beat Houston, which we beat once, and we got to do it. We got to do it on the road. And I think we got to play better complementary football on the road. I think we got to play better complementary football in general. But I know personally and from guys that I've played with, there was effort. And to question that, to be the number one defense 1 week and the next week you're saying your number one defense in the league is not giving any effort, I don't think that's fair to say.
I touched quarterback one time.
I understand that. I understand that. But that's what they did the last 4 weeks. So the last four teams they played gave no effort.
Well, are you better than those teams?
We weren't on that day.
I think the alarming thing from my standpoint was, and we can get into this coming up, the most complete performance of the season happened 7 days earlier. And for the first time, we saw all three phases not play up to par. In the past, the defense has been what has kept this team in games, even when the offense isn't putting up points. Point to Buffalo, for instance. Even Baltimore, they only scored 21. Yeah. I mean, that was the difference on Sunday compared to other games where you felt like there was an area of the team that was flat. That's what we discussed yesterday. True. We can get Logan's take on that coming up. Logan Ryan with us, presented by Edley's Barbecue.
Yeah, I want to ask about not necessarily the quitting part of this, but I want to get inside the mind of the NFL player when we come back on how frustrations can affect things moving forward when you see things not going your way over the course of the game, starting with Dean Pease and then going with the way that game was going.
How does
the psychology of that play into a second half where everything's ineffective?
If Logan had a holiday party catered by Edley's Barbecue, he would not be inviting Paul Kuharsky to that holiday party this season. Right now, get the holiday catering package for 10% off when you order before December 1st. You can visit them online, edleysbbq.com.
This is Philip Forsberg from the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to Nashville's number one sports station, 104.5 The Zone.
Served up by Wendy's. It's the Logan Ryan Show presented by Edley's Barbecue. You can find them online for your catering needs this holiday season. Edley'sBBQ.com.
So you're watching the game as a fan. You're sitting at home. Your team's getting whipped. And psychologically, you get beat down. Easy for fans to get beat down. It happens to everyone who watches a game of their favorite team. When you're out there going through a game like that on Sunday where nothing is going right, starting with off-field things happening early in the game, does it wear on your psychology as you get later into the game and you're out there playing? Because naturally, I think people could look at it and say, yeah, it's got to affect something. Does it?
I mean, naturally it could, but I would say personally, no, because one, it's a division team. So regardless of score and circumstance, like, you know, you can only control so much in a game, and it's a team sport. The way that I felt like our team has came back from some big deficits, some bad starts. I remember Kansas City playoff game last year. It's just you're playing for pride. It's like I'm gonna see this receiver again. I'm gonna see Chester Rogers or Ebron, whoever I will stick to cover. I'm gonna see you again, and I'm just gonna let you know that you're regardless of the score, like you're not gonna beat me each and every play. You might have a play. You might have a catch, but I'm going to win my battle because I'm going to see you again throughout the year. Regardless of the score, I'm not going to let you put your hands on and pancake me when you block me. Like, I got too much pride for that. And I think you start playing for pride. And I think some of the greatest comebacks I've had in this league or on this team or the Eagles game or games out this year, it's like, hold on, no matter what's going on, like, we got to start playing for some pride and we got to start getting some stops for pride or personally. And I just think, that's why I don't let it get in my psychology, because I'm thinking about basically as a man or seeing this person again throughout the road, like, regardless of how the game went, I made everything you did tough, you know? And, you know, sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way. I mean, like I said, you got to take that one. It wasn't going our way from the beginning to the end, and we didn't play good enough, and there's no excuse here. But, you know, as a pride-wise, I don't feel defeated personally.
Logan, one thing I brought up yesterday, and I like having you on because you'll give us the honest assessment on Tuesdays for your show. I've heard you say multiple times post-game that you want to find out, I think how you phrase it is, who and what we are as a team. And you said that after the Chargers game in London, going into Dallas, and then that follows up with New England, and you felt like, I say you, everyone felt like the team had kind of had a grasp on who and what you were. And then Indy happens, and you had to say that again post-game, where you're still trying to figure that out at 5-5. How frustrating is that, knowing that you're still searching for that?
Yeah, you are, and you know, we did a lot of soul searching over those bye weeks, losing three straight going to a bye week. And we came out of that and we played two of our best games. And then we have a game like this. And it's just so easy. The storyline's so easy. It's like, oh, you know, we can't have a big win and we don't know how to play after. And we don't know what we got and we don't know who we're going to be. And it's literally like, you know, as you reflect deep down, like, I'm not trying to make the Indy loss like we made the Buffalo loss pile into more losses. I'm not going to sit down, as bad as I might have felt, and worry, or like we talked about, pressing panic buttons,
right,
or be as deflated as some fans may feel. Or it's frustrating. Obviously, we're 5-5. That means we had some highs and lows. But everything we want to accomplish is still ahead of us. Everything that we talked about, our division is still at grabs. This game is a must-win game. Just like I came and told you, this Dallas game is a must-win game. This is a big game for our franchise. It's a big game for the city. Monday night, the player's going to show up and play. We're going to see who can play under those lights, and we can see who can handle it and who can't. But I'm not going to let it change my attitude or my mindset or my belief on this team or this year, because we're trying to get in the race. We're trying to get in the dance. And like I said, it's not always how you picture it. Trust me, this wasn't how I pictured it. I thought we were over some hypothetical hump. But if you don't bring it, and a game like that happens, a team like Indy, how they're rolling, they rolled on us. And like I said, I played for some pride out there, and it is what it is. And I'm going to see them again on my field, and they're going to go and earn it on my field, because I'm not going to just give it to them. So, like, I don't think I'm defeated or we're defeated. We're just not trying to make that game turn into more like we did maybe previously. And there's no way to know that till we play. You know, there's no way to know that till we line it up. That's just how I feel.
How do you kind of guard against it again? And how do you spot warning signs? Like, Vrabel talked yesterday about you guys are very good at rebounding from it. But I want to know on the front side how you see it coming and hit the brakes on.
Well, it's focus. It's 100% focus, because when you play a team sport or you play a sport like football, you need to do your job each and every play to help the guy next to you, which helps the team. And it might be a small little thing. So my job is to go and watch as much film as I watch or normally watch or more, and do what I need to do to study DeAndre Hopkins and study Demaryius Thomas, to do what I do to nullify them from the game to help my team win. Now, does doing that going to make us win automatically? No, but it gives us a better chance for us to win if I can do everything I can in my power to do my job. And it's everybody trusting each other to do their jobs in a team sport to ultimately help win. It's so easy. It's so mentally weak just to look and say, oh, man, if we lose this, then, you know, we're out of it. If we lose this game, then the fans are going to hate us. So we could have did that when we lost three straight, and we're about to play, you know, the Dallas on Monday night and Ezekiel Elliott and that crew, and then we're about to play the Patriots. It's like, oh, man, we can go 3-6 here and be done for the year. Now I'm going to be looking at vacations, and now I'm going to be and chalk it up. But it was like, no, we came out swinging and we came out fighting, and that's what we got to go to. We just got to trust, you know, when in doubt. I always tell myself, my father always told me, when in doubt, trust your training and trust your preparation. Prepare as hard as you can. Go out, you win, lose, or draw. You prepared as hard as you could. So when I'm in situations like this and time gets tough and players need to step up, I trust all the work that I've done throughout March of getting ready for this year. And that's all I can do is trust my training, trust my film study, and go and cover these receivers and help and give us a chance to win.
You come in here every Tuesday and you analyze everything that went on the previous week. And you do that after losses, and you do that with wins also. I'm sure that when you guys go and beat New England the way you did, you're analyzing everything you did that week and every way you prepared and everything you did to go out and play that way. Do you plan that way in reverse when a week like this happens, where you go back and hit rewind for a minute and think about everything that led up to Sunday, and if there's anything that you would change or you could change going into that game?
Even more, I think it's easy after losses to think too much. I think with wins, you kind of say, okay, we got to put it past us, and that's what we got to do. We got to do it again. I think with losses, you could say, oh, man, well, I didn't sleep good on Thursday night, so maybe I need to – I think you could try to start nitpicking. I think you could forget what kind of got you there, and that's why I think you got to go back and trust your training in some instances. So it's so easy to say – or it's natural to say all the things that I could have did different. I shouldn't have ate chicken. I should have ate fish. I should have put my socks on this way. But it's just like you didn't go out. You didn't execute, and you need to do everything throughout the week to focus for those 3 hours. And with what happened, and we came out in there, and our offense didn't start off hot, and DMPs got rushed to the hospital, and a lot of things that we couldn't plan for happened. We didn't do a good job in the actual event of adjusting. We didn't do a good job, and I said it, we didn't do a good job when a T.Y. Hilton is having a really good day against Adoree of giving Adoree help. Our pass rush didn't give him any help. Us in the secondary needed to find ways to give him more help, because I don't care how good you are at corner, you can't cover for 10 seconds. A guy like T.Y. Hilton, you need to put some more attention to him. I told the coaches that. I shoulder blame on myself that we didn't adjust to what they were doing. A huge thing that we wanted to take away was T.Y. Hilton and Eric Ebron. We took away one of them. Ebron had zero catches for zero targets. T.Y. Hilton had a good day. We didn't help our young corner out on that one, and that's what got you beat. So, among other things, obviously, but we need to do a good job of executing our goals. And that's not just Adoree's fault. That's us as a secondary. That's us as a coaching staff. That's us as a team to do that. And we didn't do a good job in game to do that.
Hutt mentioned that earlier, the trick play to Luck pretty early. You take any offense to that? I mean, you stop it, so I know you're stopping it, but they're throwing some crazy stuff at you pretty early in a game. Do you think, hey, they don't think much of us?
No, they're going for the win. It's a good play. Most of the time, that ball, I mean, every time I've seen the Philly special, whatever you want to call it, Randy, Tom Brady's 1 for 2 on catching it, but everyone else pretty much catches it, and it looks, you know, it looks pretty good. I think Dallas tried it. They didn't get it. You know, Indy tried it. They didn't get it. We tried it. We got it. The Patriots tried it. They didn't get the first down on it. So, I mean, everyone's trying that play. It's the most ran play right now in football. It's a good play. It's actually hard on your defense schematically to account for the quarterback around a wheel route. So I think we've done a good job with it. But no, man, and look, I got no issue. When I'm a coach one day and I'm up by 40, I have no issue to continue to run my offense, because like that's not your fault that the other team's not stopping it. If a team's sitting there trying to run up the score on us, that's not their fault. That's our fault. We let them do that. And if we're up on defense by 40, I might still blitz. That's not my fault. They can't stop my blitz. Like, that's how I am as a competitor, and that's how I am. I know coaches have some rules there and stuff like that, but if your team can't stop it, then I mean, that's not your fault that your unit's executing at a better, you know, at a better thing. I don't think Baltimore stopped blitzing us when they had 8 sacks.
What level will you be doing this coaching at?
Rutgers head coach? One day?
No, I'm trying to work as little hours as possible, so I'll probably be at the little league level. I can't work these hours at these.
So you're going to run it up on those 8-year-olds.
Oh, I'm running it up.
You'll be drawing it up in the moment.
Oh, we're running the Philly special. We're running all that.
Up 40 to nothing.
Well, I told the guys when I'm done, you know, I told Adoree when he's still playing and I'm done and all that stuff, I'll give all of them 5 years, and then I'll fly my little league team out to wherever their Malcolm Butler's on my list, fly them out to Vicksburg, Mississippi, and we're playing. And I challenge all these former guys to our little league team to go to play when we're all done and old and people.
Do
don't
they
care.
All have kids the
people
same age?
People don't care about us. Most of us have kids around the same age, so I don't know if I can coach my kids.
There's gonna be a lot of bloody noses in this game.
And, you know, how do you guys feel about coaching your kids? Because this is tough on me, because I don't want to coach my kids. That's what I said. But then I'm like,
your dad coached you.
But then
I did it up to
my
8.
Dad just coached me on defense. He was only defense, and he wasn't offense. He wasn't head coach. He was just a defense.
Did you like that
guy.
Though?
Yeah, it was fair.
I did it up to 8, and I'll say this. It's very important that you're friends with the other parents and they understand your personality. So God bless them. My kids, friends, parents understood me and understood my personality, and they were cool with it. And they were like, actually, once in a while, I'd be like, that's totally cool that you're yelling at him that way, because he needs to get it. But if it was, you know, random parents, they probably would have had me jailed.
I can imagine. You know, I, you know, one thing I think the reason why my dad just coached me on defense, he didn't want to control how much I got the ball on offense. You know how that goes, calling plays for whatever kid.
Play favorite, yeah.
And I'll tell you this, I was a kid who played every position. You know, in high school and college, I played receiver. I mean, well, in high school and literally, I played receiver, running back, quarterback. And if I wasn't the quarterback one year, my dad never went to the coach and said, why is my son not the quarterback? He told me, work harder. If you want to be a starting quarterback, work harder. He never went to a coach, I'll give him credit, and complain on my behalf because things weren't going my way. I always had to play a different position or work harder or find ways. And that really helped me in college when I redshirted. I was struggling being redshirted because I was a four-star prospect. I'm at Rutgers and I'm redshirted. Like, I was embarrassed. And I was like, I'm going to transfer. And he's like, no, you're not. You're going to sit here and figure it out. And you got yourself here and you're going to find a way to get on the field. And that really helped me, you know, throughout the NFL and in life because I was one of those guys that always had a fight for where I'm at and very prideful where I'm at and never had a parent kind of fighting for me or kind of making excuses for me. And I think a lot of guys in this day and age need that.
Dave McGinnis talks Titans with you, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Catch Coach Mack exclusively on 104.5 The Zone.
It's the Logan Ryan Show presented by Edley's Barbecue. Logan in studio with us today. A little bit later, the pick six.
Thanksgiving theme, I hope.
I bet it will be. I bet it will be. You can follow Logan on Twitter, at RealLoganRyan. This will be the last show, Logan, before the 26th of the month. So you have your adoption day coming up for pets, right?
Right, yeah, 26 every month. Be on the lookout for my Instagram. I'm going to take a picture with an adoptable dog. So we haven't took that yet, but I'm sure my wife will be telling me where and when pretty soon, and it'll be pretty fun. So I'll be on the lookout for that on 26 every month.
So I was thinking about this watching the Rams and Chiefs last night. It's not the first time, but we've had a discussion on the show before. If we were general managers in the NFL and projecting where the league's headed, offensive rules, the rules favor the offense, different things. Do you focus on putting top priority draft picks on offense moving forward? Now, I bought into that. I was thinking, I would focus on putting my top-notch players and big money on offense. But, and thinking about it, philosophically, if you're a defensive coordinator in the NFL right now, is it realistic to say, you know what, I can no longer build a defense to try to prevent yardage? Does the focus have to be on generating turnovers more than preventing points based on the style of play, up and down, run and gun, and the rules set up against what you're trying to do? I don't think you can line up anymore and say, we're going to out-physical our opponent. We're going to get after it full steam ahead, punishing, intimidating style, because I don't think the NFL is going to allow for that. And because of that, do you have to be more aggressive? Do you have to take more chances? And do you have to draft athleticism over physical play defensively?
Yeah. Well, to kind of, you know, try to answer some of what you're saying, I think that you don't, as a GM, draft. If I was a GM, I wouldn't draft offense because you can find so much of these guys coming out of college now, these receivers. It's almost like why you don't pay running backs a ton, and all my running backs are going to hate me.
But well,
you're finding Kamaras, you're finding Kareem Hunts, you're finding guys who run the spread, you're finding running backs who can, Deion Lewis's and James White, guys who can run routes and are not, you know, obviously Gurley and those guys, those are transcendent players. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, like, I feel you can find some of that throughout. You need to find guys who can rush and who can cover because they're putting all these new, like, rules, and all these rules are telling you that you can't cover with your hands anymore. You have to be able to cover with your feet. And there's not too many DBs just grow, you know, that you can't pick off trees that just have really good feet to just cover all types of small receivers, big receivers that you can't touch anymore. Back in the day, you could hold them and, you know, control. Yeah. Now you almost can't do that as much. And if you do, it's really risky. So I think that you got to, you know, and you see what guys like Aaron Donald and stuff are doing to the game, like guys that Khalil Mack that demand a double team and bring the numbers in your favor. So I feel like, to answer your question, I feel like you gotta draft some guys that can rush and cover, because I do think it's turned to more of a college game. I do think they're getting more skilled players on the field on offense, and coordinators are getting more creative and not running the traditional what we've seen throughout the 90s and early 2000s, and that Ravens defense and that 85 Bears defense. Like, all those things are penalties now and a lot of hefty fines. So you got to find guys that can pretty much, you know, they're trying to turn into flag 7-on-7. And you got to find guys that can play 7-on-7 on offense and on defense.
Well, and it's also, I mean, last night, it's becoming a basketball game on grass at times. So why is it hard to find guys who can rush the passer at an elite level? Because it seems like the way the game's turning athletically, you'd find a lot of guys who kind of fit that description athletically that could get after a quarterback. And those guys seem a lot harder to find than, like you said, a receiver or a running back.
I think rushing the passer is obviously really hard. I think it's really hard because it's really tiring. And I think the best pass rushers have relentless motors. So, like, Aaron Donald, like, he doesn't have, like, the stature to be the best pass, one of the most, but he has a motor and a will to get to the quarterback that's greater than anybody blocking him. And I know a guy like Chandler Jones, he's a guy like, you know, the Jones brothers, like 6'6", long limbs, bendy, flexible, doesn't look athletic at the combine, but he's a true MMA with his hands, really good at rushing the passer. Like, he walks around the locker room and pass rushes. I'm not surprised that he's going to pass rush, hitting my microphone. Yeah, so I'm not surprised that he's going to always lead a league in sacks, and Von Miller and stuff like that. Like, those guys, they're just hard to find because they have to, you know, it's almost like any player. You have to have the skill set to be good, and sometimes, like, these corners, right? You're like, okay, well, it's a pass lead. Let me go draft a 6'2", 4'3" corner, first round, he's going to pan out. No, because it's so much more. They're running concepts against you. So if you run, I always say, you run 4-3 really fast, I'm happy I'm not 4-3. Because if I don't know what's going on, I'm running 4-3 the wrong direction. I'm running 4-3 and getting back-shouldered all day, and I don't understand how to adjust. So you need guys that are really athletic, but also still want to have the will to want to be great, will to learn, will to work hard, will to be fundamentally sound. And, you know, God don't make everyone perfect. So some guys who are really athletic don't have the will to do that. Some guys who aren't have that blue chip, have that chip on their shoulder to want to be really fundamentally sound, really good, work really hard. So I just think you got to find those players and do a good job of finding a guy's heart to match his athletic ability.
Vols basketball on the Zone, Tennessee and Louisville, Wednesday afternoon at 3:30 on 104.5 The Zone. It's the Pick 6 with Logan Ryan.
Intercepted, and there he goes. Logan Ryan going to take this one for a touchdown.
Picked off, taking it all the way back for the touchdown is Logan Ryan.
This is the Logan Ryan Show, presented by Edley's Barbecue here on the Midday 180. It's time for the Pick 6. Logan, what's the last song that you sung out loud? And we also need a sample of it.
There we go. Last song is
very musical.
Last song I sang out loud?
Yes.
Man. Oh. I saw the Grinch movie. I wasn't singing that out loud.
Yet.
You know what? I sang I Believe I Can Fly to my mom at my wedding.
And that sounded like
what? A little
what?
Bit of that.
Like on mic?
You know, it was kind of, you know, we were dancing to it. And because I remember Space Jam was one of my favorite movies, I started off Space Jam, so nice. I danced with that to my mom, and they cut it, and I kind of took over.
And it sounded like this.
Yeah, but not today. Not today. We got to run through this. I got some.
Speaking of your mom, what's the worst thing that you did as a kid?
The worst thing that I did as a kid.
Yes.
I used to steal the icing. Not the worst thing, but my brother always telling me I used to steal. I was like an icing addict, and I would steal the frosting out of the fridge and run around. Nobody can catch me.
Snort it.
eat it by the handfuls. And mom couldn't catch me. My brother couldn't catch me. If dad wasn't home, no one was catching me.
You were a really good kid. If that's the worst thing.
Yeah,
you did.
I was a bad kid.
What flavor?
Vanilla.
I'm just finding out that Logan and I have more and more in common every single week.
So they had to put the icing up on the top shelf or something, because I was finding it and stealing it and running around the backyard with it.
You're as much as like Reed as he thinks you're going to get diabetes.
Yeah, I was not outrunning anyone, I can assure you of that. Speaking of icing and diabetes, it's Thanksgiving time. Logan, what's the first thing that's going to go on your plate on Thursday?
The mac and cheese. I'm always eating the mac and cheese first. Mom's coming in town. Mom and wife, they're going to have a good dynamic. Who's cooking what? I don't want to get involved in that, but hopefully it goes out well, and I get double the mac and cheese.
All right, so that was only three of six because it was a pick six that was tackled inside the five, and the defense held for 3 points instead of six on this one because someone's throwing a flag on Paul.
Sudden change.
That's right. Yeah. Sudden change for the conference call that just took place with Bill O'Brien. Paul was...
Paul, you want to set this
a few
up?
Minutes late to the Logan Ryan show because you were on the phone with Bill O'Brien briefly.
I requested this to be while I'm on the air.
Logan, this being his show, said we have to have this during my segment.
This did not go well. I know Rick Smith. I covered Rick Smith with the Texans. And as I hear it, Deshaun Watson is completely Rick Smith's pick. And I think Bill O'Brien gets a lot of credit for Rick Smith's pick. And I didn't phrase this that well with Bill O'Brien.
So here is this the entire conference call?
No, this is half the conference call.
This is the entirety of the conference call because it was rather short.
This is the entire conference call
play the first half.
With Houston Texans head coach Bill O'Brien.
No, it's not boring. Paul set him up with a softball question first.
Bill, how different are you guys from last time you saw Mike and the Titans?
Obviously, thanks to all the other Titans
had a lot of
chiming
success
in. So
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I think that
he's very interested in this question.
You know, I think it's a league where it's all about improvement. I think we've improved, but I don't. I think there's a fine line between winning and losing, and I just think we're doing a little bit better job of coaching, doing a little bit better job of playing, and the guys are working hard. We got a good group of guys. And working real hard. I don't know where we are compared to back then. You know, it's such a long season. It's hard to look back on that.
What's it like to be having this level of success with Deshaun when Rick was really the only guy who wanted him back in that draft?
Wow. Say that again?
What's it like to be having this level of success with Deshaun when Rick was really the only guy who wanted him back in that draft?
I mean, I don't even understand what that question means. I mean, who is this? Who asked that?
My name's Paul Kuharski. I cover the Titans here and there.
Yeah, Paul, I'm not going to lower myself to answer that question. Are there any other questions?
Why is that required lowering, Bill?
Everyone in the organization wanted Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was the number one ranked quarterback on our board, and we were lucky to get him. What kind of question is that? I'll talk to you. I'll see you guys after the game, okay? Bye-bye.
The chairperson has disconnected. The conference will now end.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that's true, that everyone in the organization wanted him.
Well, clearly not. You asked the question for a reason.
You got some good info there.
I don't believe that's true.
Logan, Paul really knows how to make friends, doesn't he?
Yeah, he made a bigger, enemy.
Yeah, we're having Thanksgiving again.
Who
me
is
today.
This? That's my favorite
I'm
part.
I'm happy. He took some heat
who
off of me.
Who is this?
Today.
My name is Paul.
My name is Paul Kuharski.
Show me your face.
I'm not going to lower myself to answer this question about my quarterback.
Oh, man, that was so good.
So you wanted that on the show. Are you glad you requested it?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was great. I thought I was going to have to battle with Paul today, and, he battled with Bill. I'm happy about that.
You guys battled a little bit. But that was a real tough one.
We handled it.
You didn't walk off. You didn't do the
going to be something.
Paul asked me a question after the game, and I did the same thing. I'm like, where's the question at? Like, what are we trying to say?
But
your answer was just as bad, but you didn't hang up.
Yeah, I tell you guys, man, win, lose, or draw, I'm going to show up, do the show, man.
We know. That's why we love you. That's why we're boys.
We're good.
But just for information, losing by 28 and losing by 3, no matter if Rabe says it or not, is not the same.
Is not what?
It's not the same. The Chargers loss and this loss, not the same.
Oh, then it goes back to winning by 1 or winning by, 40.
Right.
We had that talk last year. Wins are wins, loss are loss. We're 5-5. 6 games left. See what we got.
Logan's calling it a must win. He called the must win for the Dallas game on Monday night. So
hey, you want this conference call number? You want to call O'Brien, have a little chat with him? He's got time.
Ask him what he
didn't use up all his time.
It just seemed like it was you and him. I didn't hear anybody.
It was. Where the hell was everybody else?
Where were
thanks a lot? Tennessean, Athletic, ESPN. Everybody's sleeping in this morning. I was waiting. There were a whole bunch of clicks when it was time to tune into the conference call. I thought there were people there that would ask a bunch of softballs like usual. But no.
No, you were there. You were there to open it up.
The fun is, he's like, what did you say? And you just repeated the same exact thing. Yeah. Like, he was like,
yeah, really, I thought maybe he was having a little trouble with his ear.
Yeah, here you go. I'll say it again for you.
I started recording that and then walked back out 15 seconds later to see what was going on. And Paul was walking out of the room. And I thought, oh, this is great.
Who is this?
Was fabulous.
Who is this?
Yeah. Oh, my. So no one else was on the conference call, or they were just silent?
Either one or the
other. That was it. What we heard was it.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, has anyone, you know, other members of the Titans media, has anyone texted you to say, wow, that was crazy?
No, but I don't think they would.
They blocked
them. I mean, they'd run and hide under a rock for fear of being associated with that call, don't you think?
I don't know.
I do.
Logan, leave us with this. DeAndre Hopkins shows up every single play. Not just every game, but every play he goes out balling, even if he's not getting the football. Demaryius Thomas, I haven't heard much from since they made the trade with him. How are they trying to use him offensively, and how different of a look is it now compared to what you saw earlier in the season in September?
Well, they're different because, one, they're not trying to run Deshaun Watson as much. He's had some injuries, and it just doesn't seem like they want to run the RPO and run him. Yeah, not the RPO. They don't want a quarterback run him as much. Now, is he naturally going to scramble? Of course he is. But he's got to be more mindful of his body because he's taking some hits. We know that he's taken some injuries this year. So I think they're not trying to have him get the ball out. Demaryius Thomas is a really good receiver. Obviously, throughout the years, he's able to get open one-on-one. And I think that's what they wanted. He's a bigger body guy. Can make some of those catches when people are doubling Hopkins all the time. But they don't have Will Fuller. And I think when they have him, it takes a top off a little bit, and I don't think they have a guy to do that, but they obviously have a guy like number 10 that can run, that can catch anything you throw to him, and they got Demaryius Thomas who can catch some balls when you throw it to him. But they're missing that dynamic, so I think it is a different team. I think we got to go to their place, and we got to play better on the road, and I think it's going to be a battle of what we do, and I know we have extremely competitive guys on our team, and I know we're really prideful guys, and we got to put a good performance not only for the city and the fans before ourselves, and I think it'll be all out battle. However it happens, I know I'm going out battling, and I'm excited. You know, I came in this division to play against DeAndre Hopkins and guys like that. That's why they brought me here, because I covered them in the past, and I don't know how it's going to work out. But if I cover them, I'm excited for the opportunity when I do, and then Demaryius as well, and whoever's out there. I'm trying to do the best for our team.
Win, lose, or draw, you're a stand-up guy. You show up every week. We love you for it. And thanks for having my back with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, I got your back on Bill O'Brien all day. Appreciate it.
Not in the Titans locker room, but with Bill O'Brien, he's got your back.
This week he's going to take it to Bill. If you make a tackle over there, say, hey, that was a good question about Rick Smith.
That's for Paul Kuharsky.
Paul Kuharsky from the Tennessee.
Now you know who Paul Kuharsky is.
It's been the Logan Ryan Show, presented by Edley's Barbecue. Let Edley's cater your holiday party this season. Right now, get the holiday catering package for 10% off when you order before December 1st. Find out more online at edleysbbq.com.